This morning, we are continuing in a series that we're doing this month in August, talking about discipleship. We as leaders here at Clay House have began kind of going back to the drawing boards, thinking, how can we make disciples? How can we do this in a better way? And God, what is it you're doing? What is it you're stirring among us that we would be faithful in it? And so we're talking this month about this important theme, but I want to invite you to take out your Bibles if you have them. You can also see the words on the screen. We're in John chapter 15, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5 as we study this passage together. John 15, verse 1, Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Let's bow our heads and pray as we seek the Lord during this time. Lord Jesus, we want to just thank you that you are the vine. You're the one in whom we have life. Lord, we bear your fruit. And Lord, today I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would guide us into truth, that we would not only be hearers, but we would be doers. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow each of us so that we would be both faithful and fruitful in your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint this time with the power of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. We just want to worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if you have a bucket list or some type of list that you put together that maybe some places you would like to see or things that you would like to do in your life. Although I have not officially compiled a bucket list myself, if I did make one as far as places to travel, seeing the giant redwood trees in California would definitely be on my list. I'd love to go to Sequoia National Park. Have any of you been to that park? Yes, a number of hands there. People that have been there have said that the pictures just really do not do it justice of that, the beauty of the park. And the redwoods, which are the Earth's most massive tree, can grow up to 300 feet tall. That is massive. That's as tall if you were to take a football field and put it upright. You can see also, for those of you who've been to the park, I've seen pictures that you can drive a car through the base of the trunks of some of these trees because they're so wide. And I was reading and doing some research on these trees, and the branches can grow as much as 8 feet thick. I mean, they're just massively huge trees. Well, why do these redwood trees grow so large? Well, first of all, they live very long. And second of all, they grow very quickly. And as a result, they grow massively. And they're huge trees. And I think it would be so cool to be able to visit that myself. So if I'm going to create a bucket list, that's where I'm going to go. I enjoy watching just the beauty of God's creation and trees like that and going to parks and the mountains. We have so much beauty right here in Colorado. But what I also enjoy watching and the beauty of watching people grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. But you know, growth takes time, and it isn't always so easy to see in our lives. Like the sequoia trees, we can't see the growth with our eyes, but we do see the results of that growth over time. Why? Because healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. And in fact, dead things cannot grow. There has to be life in order for something to be able to grow. And we've been talking about this theme of growing as disciples in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we have to understand is that growth doesn't happen automatically. There needs to be, number one, life. There needs to be health. And there needs to be optimal conditions for that growth to be able to happen in a good way. You know, Paul says very clearly, actually the author of Hebrews, it wasn't Paul, but it could have been Paul, but whoever the author of Hebrews was, in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." So it's very clear that there are people that maybe have been Christians for a period of time, but do not grow as they should. They do not grow to maturity. They still require milk as a baby would require milk. They cannot handle meat. And so just because we've been Christians, potentially some of us for a very long time, does not automatically mean that we've grown or that we are mature. In fact, I've known people that were older in age that were spiritually immature, and I've also known those who were young in age that were quite mature for their age. What it's really about is faithfulness and obedience to Christ, whatever age we are. No matter how long we've been Christians, there is room for growth in each and every one of us. And so growth is not automatic. And I want to be very clear, as we've talked about over the last number of weeks, it is God's work and activity within us. This growth happens by His grace. It is God who is doing that work to work according to His pleasure in each of us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So we have to submit ourselves to God on a consistent and daily basis, that we would take up our cross daily. We can talk more about that over the next couple of weeks, about what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But growth is by God's grace. Yet it also takes our willing response to submit to Him on a daily basis, moment by moment. Now, last week, in case you missed last week, we talked about the seven marks of maturity. It's important we talk about this issue of discipleship, that we think of in terms of, okay, what does a healthy disciple actually look like? If we're all aspiring to be one, you know, what are some of the ingredients or the DNA of a healthy, mature person of Jesus Christ? I know we didn't videotape last week, but we will be uploading the audio online, but we just listed several things. Just quickly, number one, they understand their need for a Savior, this deep humility. Number two, that they know God. They not just know the Word of God, but they know God Himself. Number three, that they obey Jesus. Number four, that they are full of the Holy Spirit. Number five, they love others. Number six, they are faithful and fruitful by God's grace. And number seven, they make more disciples. We multiply and we make more disciples, and we be about God's mission in this world. And so there's a lot we can talk more about that, but I would encourage you to go back last week as we talked about those marks of maturity. But I would hope that each of us desire that kind of maturity in our lives. The question is, well, how does that happen? How do we grow? How do we become the mature disciples that God intends us to be? Well, here in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, Jesus says that God is like a vine dresser. In other words, that He is working in our lives, pruning branches, cutting off dead limbs, and making things optimal for growth in our lives. Sometimes we go through those difficult seasons and circumstances of our lives, and we wonder, God, what is it you're up to? And we, you know, that pruning of life and those circumstances certainly aren't easy and they're not fun, but God is working according to His good purposes that we would be mature followers of Jesus and that we would bear fruit according to His grace and goodness. And so God wants us to be mature. He's in our cheering section. Not only is He cheering us along, but He's giving us the grace and guidance that we need to be fruitful and faithful. And again, if we're faithful, He will produce the fruit through us. If He has to do the pruning in order to enable greater faithfulness and fruitfulness in our lives, He will do it in our lives. Our job, as we're seeing very clearly in this passage, is to abide in Jesus Christ. I want to read verses 4 and 5 once again. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and the only life that we really have as believers in Christ Jesus is the life that comes from Him. Another way of saying is that no fruit or maturity can happen until or unless we abide in Christ Jesus. And so abiding in Jesus is an obedience issue. This is something that we're commanded and called to do as believers in Jesus. Growth will happen as we stay connected, as we stay rooted, and we abide in Him. You know, many of us, at Christmas time, we have the habit of going out to a particular place where they sell Christmas trees, and we cut down our trees and put them in our living rooms. I know our family has one of those plastic trees. We don't do this every year, but, you know, those of you that have that tradition, you cut it down, you put it in there. Now, it looks nice, and you can decorate it nicely, but that tree is dead. You cut it from its source. Over time, it's going to just, all the needles are going to fall off. It's because it's not connected. And it might be decorated nicely, but it's not going to live. And, you know, there's a lot of people that come to church, and we might be decorated correctly. We might even attend all the right things we should attend and serve all these things, as good as being a part of church and small groups and all that can be. But, friends, we could have it all together on the outside, but on the inside, our hearts are far from Christ Jesus. That it's not just decorating the Christmas tree, but it's staying rooted into the vine of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the vine or the trunk, and we must stay rooted in Him. And so, therefore, all of Christian discipleship must be Christ-centered. Everything must be rooted and centered in Jesus Christ. In fact, friends, if we do all the things of church and have all these things going on, we can get 20 different plates spinning and trying to keep things together. But friends, we at Clay House must be rooted in Jesus Christ. In everything that we think, say, and do, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, nothing of any eternal kingdom impact would ever happen unless we are staying rooted in Jesus Christ. That we bear the fruit of Christ because He's the vine and we are the branches. In fact, when we're not rooted in Christ, ugliness, immaturity, and death happens when we fail to abide. And so, you know, as we go about our business every day, this is something that we not just do as far as abiding in Christ on Sundays. This is something we need to do day by day, moment by moment, because how many of you know our culture today pulls us away from abiding? The devil does everything he can do to keep us away from Christ Jesus, to tempt us with many different things, with different idols or things that we would esteem in our lives above Jesus, materialism. And some of us today need to get back to that place of true surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, to stay rooted in Him, to stay abiding in Him. You know, redwood trees offer some interesting insights about growth. As I mentioned, I had done some research on these redwood trees, and I was just fascinated as I began investigating all these facts about them. And there's just some interesting things I want to just communicate with you that actually correspond quite nicely to this issue of growth as disciples in Jesus Christ. First of all, redwood trees, as you can imagine, require great amounts of water. They need lots of water. They need a healthy supply of water to sustain their growth. Actually, in the climate in the Sierra Nevada mountains there in California, they're actually optimal for this because they get great amount of water. The Sierra snowpack that accumulates during the winter time in the winter months soak into the ground and it melts and it helps the redwood trees grow. And we too, as Christians, need a healthy supply of water to grow. Abiding in Jesus means that our supply comes from Him. As we worship, as we pray, as we study His Word, as we spend time in fellowship with Him, we're watered or nurtured as we grow. And there's an important distinction, perhaps you've heard before, between religion and relationship. You know, religion can go through all the traditions and the formulas, but missed the relationship. But we as Christians want to stay connected to relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's about a relationship with Him. And Jesus is our continual water supply. In fact, John 7:37, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Just as branches need nourishment, so Jesus is our nourishment as believers in Him. And so if we want to grow as disciples, we need to come thirsty. Come thirsty. Come thirsty to the Scripture. And I'll say this. The reason why a lot of us feel very stagnant, perhaps, in our spiritual lives is because we're not thirsty any longer. We no longer come to church with a thirst to want to meet with God. Just kind of the thing we do. Or when we study the Scriptures, we just kind of, okay, I checked my box for today and I read my Scriptures. But we don't hunger after the text. We don't say, "Lord Jesus, show me yourself in this." And, you know, I find that one of the keys to studying Scripture is asking good questions of the text. Why was this written? To whom was the audience? And as you mine out those questions, there's a thirst that begins to develop in your soul to say, "Lord, would you show me? Holy Spirit, would you teach me to illuminate your word in my heart and mind that I would seek after you and follow you in every way?" And so as Christians, we need to be watered through Christ Jesus, through His word, through prayer and through times of worship, privately and publicly. The question I have for you this morning is, are you thirsty? And one of the things I've discovered is that God will not increase your supply until He first increases your need. The reason why some of us aren't going to deeper places and deeper waters is because we've never come to the place of saying, "Lord, here I am. I'm an empty vessel. Would you fill me?" God won't increase our supply until He increases our need for Him. And one of the things I've discovered in these years of pastor is that I've just come to realize how inadequate I am as a man to be able to do anything. I can't do anything apart from Jesus. And neither can you as a man or woman. We cannot do everything that God's called us to do in ourselves. We need Christ Jesus to be our all in everything. So we must lean into Him and abide in Christ Jesus. You know, redwood trees not only need a lot of water to be able to grow, but, you know, it's interesting, redwood trees withstand the elements. I mean, if they're for hundreds and hundreds of years, they have to be able to do that. And obviously, because of their size, they're likely too massive to be blown over by most of the normal winds that they see, and even those winds can get quite fierce there in the mountains. But they also have very thick bark. Some trees have bark that is much as 3 foot thick. This bark is actually special because it's rich in something that is called tannus, which helps protect the tree against fire and insect damage. And so the redwood trees can stand tall there, no matter the circumstances of their weather, and they can live up to 500 to 800 years. They persevere and keep standing tall, even in the worst of storms. You know, all of us have difficulties in our lives, but being a mature disciple means that we endure those hardships by God's grace, and we trust in Him. You know, actually, I was reading, fire is actually important to these giant redwood forests because it helps free the trees from competition of other plant life and helps provide nutrients for the soil and actually gives greater sunlight, which helps the reproduction of sequoia trees. Isn't that interesting? There's a sermon in that. When we go through the fire in our own lives, when we feel the turmoil and experience difficulty, God is providing nutrients for us to grow, for greater sunlight to happen in our souls and in our spirits. James says it this way, James 1:1-2. "Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Yes, certainly we deal with evil in this world. We deal with pain and suffering, and that is not good. But God can bring good out of it, and he can redeem. Even though the things that the devil meant for evil, God can turn for good. He can take the fire of our circumstances and use it to produce nutrients or spiritual life within us that would produce greater fruit for the kingdom of God, and that we would be all that God calls us to be. The question I would ask you this morning is, could it be that God is using your circumstances right now as an opportunity to produce greater spiritual maturity and health in you? It's actually quite a rhetorical question. He is. The question is what is our response? And I'm not minimizing the pain that we go through. It is hard. Life is very difficult at times. But God's grace is greater still. And His grace and help is with us at all times. And Jesus promises to never leave us or forsake us. And when we go through those dark days, we also have to realize that we serve a Savior that endured a cross for us. And that He taught us what it means to overcome the world. And so we go through problems, and Scripture says we're to expect this. We shouldn't think that this is unusual. In life, we have problems. But God uses these circumstances in our lives as a setup to be able to grow us by His grace, that we would make Him our number one focus. That as in the redwood forest, as the fire consumes all the plant life below, there's no extra competition. And some of us, those difficulties bring us back to the place where we say, Jesus, You're number one in my life. Nothing else matters. I'm going to focus on You and serving You with my life. You know, another thing I discovered about redwood trees is they actually take care of one another. They actually have rather shallow, widespread roots that enable them to kind of intertwine with the roots of other trees. In other words, they hold each other down during those strong winds and during flooding. And as Christians, as we were to kind of take that word picture, that visual, if we want to grow and stay strong as believers in Jesus, we need community. We need connection with one another to be able to stay strong. We need that accountability, where Scripture says that iron sharpens iron, that we would grow to maturity. We need one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir one another up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, Clay House, I'm so thankful that we serve a God who is a great gardener. He's a master vine dresser, and He's working in us, and He's working in our circumstances. And the Holy Spirit, He is healing us, and He's making us whole, and He's calling us to deeper places and deeper waters, that we would no longer be drinking only milk, but that we would be eating meat, and that we would be eating things that would produce greater health and maturity in us. You know, the truth is, some of us are rather stuck. Some of us are stuck maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, in unhealthy patterns and practices. And I just want to challenge us just straight up. It's time for some of us to grow up. And I'm including myself in this. It's time to raise the standard that we follow Jesus with all of our being. To call us to new attitudes and how we approach life and other people, to perhaps new practices, to a deeper commitment to follow Jesus, to learn to abide fully in His grace. I want to just talk to those of you maybe that have been serving God perhaps for 20, 30, 40 years or longer. When was the last time you ever did something for the first time in your walk with Jesus? When was the last time you ever did something for the first time in your walk with Jesus? Could it be that God wants to do something new in a new season in your life? Yes, to stay rooted in the things that you've learned and been trained and equipped with, and praise God for the experiences and the things that have happened in the past, but could it be that God wants you to experience even more? There's a whole ocean out there for us to discover of God's goodness and grace in our lives. Could it be that God wants to do a new thing in you? Whether you're younger or older or anywhere in between, He wants to do something new. You know, for a lot of us, it just comes down to making right choices, moment by moment, day by day. As I mentioned, my parents, we had an anniversary gathering this past July in North Carolina. But it's interesting, as we went to go visit my parents in Asheville, we took off and we drove the distance, about 1,500 miles to get there. And I cannot tell you how many exits we passed along the highway, but I can say it was an awful lot of them. There were hundreds, I don't know if hundreds, but there were a good many exits that we passed along the highway to be able to get to my parents' place. And if you've traveled any distance, you know that you have to pass a lot of exits as well. But while they were all good exits, they weren't all the right exits, were they? There were plenty of good exits, but they weren't the right ones. We had to know where we were going and which exits to take in order to be able to make it to our destination. Friends, not all exits are your exits. You need to keep the destination in mind. Keep the destination in mind where God has planned for you and purpose. And again, we don't fully know everything that's going to happen in our lives, but we need to seek the Lord and come before His throne and say, God, what is it you want to do? I want to follow your will and your way. Would you lead me so that I would make the decisions that will honor you? Not just the big macro decisions, but the micro decisions every day, that I would be faithful to you. How do we do this? Abiding in Jesus. He will be our guide. In fact, Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man or good woman are established by the Lord, and He delights in His way." Get at the feet of Jesus, friends. Look to the cross, because within the cross you will find the highway to righteousness and holiness, because it's found in Christ Jesus. When we find our purpose and our identity in Him, when we commit ourselves to obey and to take up our cross on a daily basis, we will grow and we will go where He intends us to be. Clay House, the truth is, disciples are made, they're not born. Growth doesn't happen automatically. It happens as we abide in Christ Jesus. And friends, we need each other. We need connection. Let's not make it the habit of missing church. We come together to grow, to be accountable, to have fellowship with one another. You know, it's interesting. I was doing research on the redwood trees. I found that the redwood trees often grow in circles. They actually call them fairy rings or family circles because they sprout from the roots of the parent tree. You could say it takes a forest to raise a redwood. It sounds very political, the stronger together kind of thing. But we need each other as Christians. This is why we do small groups and have other ministries where we have that connection, where we intertwine the roots together. We have that accountability. As we grow together, we can experience the grace and goodness of Christ Jesus. The question I would have for you today as well is, are you connected deeply to other Christians? Are you trying to do this by yourself? You know, when I was working in architecture in near Pittsburgh, I had a friend of mine who was in a Bible study. His name was Rick. Still is Rick. And his name is Rick. And so Rick and I, Rick was one of those, I was always skinny and wiry, but he was always kind of those big muscular guys. And so at lunchtime, we'd go down to the gym together on a regular basis, and we'd work out together. You know, before Rick came along, I would go down there, but I wasn't incredibly motivated. But if you have a workout partner, somebody that's going to push you a little bit, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? And in a similar way, when one works out, when you have that accountability, when somebody's pushing you, we need that in a spiritual sense. We need a sense where we're being encouraged and challenged by other people to grow, to push each other harder. Are you connected deeply to other Christians? Finally, the other thing I learned about redwood trees is they actually help their surroundings. Studies show that redwoods capture more carbon dioxide, CO2, from other cars, trucks, and power plants than any other tree on earth, and the trees actually help the environment around them. And actually, this is true of mature Christians as well, that we affect the environment around us. As we love and as we serve other people, we create environments of health and godly influence on our lives. You know, in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Peter Scazzaro says, it's impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And I would say for some of us, because of maybe patterns and things we've learned growing up, or maybe unhealthy things we've seen, that we need to grow, not only in the area of our spiritual life, but let that seep into our emotional life as well. Because toxic people create toxic environments. That's true in families, it's true in churches, it's true in businesses. And there are some people around us, maybe you've experienced this in your life, where you're addicted to chaos. I don't know if you know people like that. They just always seem to find problems every place they go. But friends, by contrast, healthy or mature Christians create healthy and mature environments, whether it be churches or families. In other words, maybe if you're in a toxic environment at your workplace and you're thinking, this is crazy, it's driving me up the wall. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're abiding in Him, the fact that you're abiding in Him should create greater health in that environment. It should be a blessing to other people. Rather than joining in with the complaining that everybody else is doing, you're being light, perhaps in a very dark place. Healthy, mature Christians create healthy, mature environments. And what we want to call us to is both emotional and spiritual health. And some of us, maybe real healing needs to take place in that area. But I'm so thankful that we serve a healer. The Holy Spirit, He heals us. Yes, there's perhaps some deep-seated, rooted issues that we've had to deal with, but I'm so thankful that Jesus is for us, and He's able to heal to the uttermost and change us in the inside. And certainly that takes time, and in some cases it takes a lifetime. But I love what Psalm 147, verse 3 says, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know, many of us today are working hard at the Christian life. Many of us are doing overtime efforts, coming to church, reading our Bibles, saying our prayers, trying to do better, but we're failing. All of our efforts are not working. We've made promises and we've committed and then recommitted ourselves to the Lord, and we're sincere and we're honest, we're doing our best. The problem is that we're missing out on what God is really looking for. Yes, it's great to be involved and dedicated to God's work, but what God wants most from us is that we be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to abide in Him, that being precedes doing. Friends, it's so possible to get caught up in the work of the Lord that you miss the Lord of the work. Jesus is inviting us to Himself. He's inviting us to the place of full surrender to His Lordship. And His invitation for us is to come thirsty. That if we thirst after righteousness, if we thirst after Him, we will be filled. Friends, I want to just invite you to stand your feet at this time. We're going to close with a song. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, we're continuing in this issue of discipleship. And, you know, following Jesus is not just simply saying a prayer. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifetime of faithfulness and fruitfulness according to His grace. But as we sing this last song, I want to just lift it up before the Lord and say, Lord, let my life bring You praise. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to You, what David said. It's not just our words, but some of us need to surrender some attitudes. In this politically divisive climate and all the things that have gone on for COVID, and a lot of us have produced a lot of, well, they over there, and we've pointed fingers. Let's ask, Lord, what in me needs to change? What in my heart needs to change? Lord, let every part of me worship You. And Lord Jesus, teach me to abide in You. Let's sing together.